Hi, everybody, and welcome to our third Dissipation of Glamour Initiative webinar, affectionately known as DOGI, D-O-G-I, Dissipation of Glamour Initiative. We are we're going to do the same thing now. Today, also, I'm joined, of course, by Tuya and Olivia, and Tuya is going to render some of what we say into Finnish, since we are in this country and we have some who are attending who need that language. So we're going to do the same thing we usually have done. We're going to have a little bit of a reading from Master DK. We started that. And we read about the third ray, the sixth ray, and the first ray. Now we're going to see what he says about the other four rays. Then we're going to take a look at the second ray glamours. We're doing one list of glamours every time we meet, and I think that will be actually quite relevant for a lot of us, since so many of us have some kind of strong connection with the second ray, either personality, soul, or monad. Then we'll have an opportunity for some questions or comments. You can either raise your hand and speak, or you can put in a question down there where it says questions in your dashboard. And then after that, we will have our meditation, which will be in both English and in Finnish. Now, for the time being, we are still doing the full meditation on individual glamour. But, before long, we'll also be thinking about getting into the group and world glamour without discontinuing our very necessary work on the individual glamour. Individual glamours. So here is this section from the Tibetan's book, and I'm going to pause every once in a while and ask if Tuya would like to essentialize it a little bit in the Finnish language. So this is from page 222. Now, I guess all of the different ray types, whether it's from your personality or even from the lower vehicles or from your soul, They can have the glamours. So it says here that the seventh ray person is faced with the difficulty of being able to create exceedingly clear-cut thought forms. And the glamours, therefore, which control him, are precise and definite, and to him, all compelling. I mean, in other words, very convincing, because they look so real. These glamours rapidly crystallize, however, and die their own death. Tuya, anything you want to summarize about that?
Right. Elikkä nyt täällä, silloin kun mä käännän näitä, niin mä en käännä kaikkia noista suoraan lauseita, vaan pääpiirteet näistä harhoista. Eli nyt puhutaan seitsemännen säteen henkilön harhoista, ja se mikä tekee mielenkiintoiseksi sen, että seitsemännen säteen henkilö ei kykene tekemään selkeitä ajatusmuotoja, ja sen takia nämä harhat, jotka kontrolloivat häntä, ovat hyvin tarkkoja ja tiukkoja ja sillä lailla pakottavia hänelle. Ja kokonaisuudessaan pitävät seitsemännen säteen persoonaa vankina. Mutta nopeasti nämä muodot sitten kristallisoituvat
sitten sitä mukaan kuolevat.
Yeah. Okay, and that's better, by the way. You plug something in there, Tuya, and now we hear you much more clearly. Okay, all you English-speaking people, you got that? I think the thing to do is, to sort of just contemplate the English words while the Finnish translation is going on. You know, this is the thing. People are very convinced when something is clear. And you can, there are many magicians who are astral magicians, and they are on the seventh ray. And what is coming through on the astral plane for them has a great deal of clarity, and it seems to them very, very real. So we're going to see a lot more of this coming.
Seitsemän säteen ihmiset ovat kiinnittyneitä siinä mielessä astraalikehossaan, että ne muodot, jotka tulevat sieltä, ovat hyvin selkeitä heille ja sen tähden pitävät tätä henkilöä vankinaan.
Okay, gosh, there's some kind of... Uh-oh.
What happens? Are we...
We're echoing. When you're finished speaking, turn off your mute. Put yourself on mute and then put yourself back on. The green button. We'll get all this straightened out. Okay, second ray. And that has a lot to do with many of us. Second ray aspirants, and remember you are an aspirant, you know, until the third degree, really. Second ray aspirants are usually fully aware of any glamour which may be seeking to hold them, because they have a built-in, an innate faculty of clear perception. Their problem is to kill out in themselves their rapid response to the magnetic pull of the astral plane and its many and widespread glamours. They are not so frequently responsive to a glamour as to all glamours in a relatively temporary manner, but one which is nevertheless, it delays their progress exceedingly. If anybody's moving around, you have to put yourself on self-mute, because otherwise we hear it, okay? Put yourself on self-mute until it's time to talk. Okay, so it delays them. It delays them. But because of their clear-sightedness, they add to this sensitivity to glamour an ability to suffer about it and to register their responsiveness to glamour as a sin and failure, and thus delay their liberation from it by a negative attitude of inferiority and distress. You know, the inferiority complex that a lot of second-rate people carry. They will profit enormously from a constant use of the formula until the time comes when they are aware of the glamour or glamours, but are not touched by them. So he really says a lot there about the second-ray and its response to glamours, and we should contemplate that carefully. So, in summary to you, what would you say?
Toisin säteen aspirantit, ja aspirantti on kolmanteen vihkimykseen asti, on mielenkiintoisesti huomattava, että he eivät kärsi, taikka he ovat ikään kuin tietoisia harhoistaan, koska toinen säde tekee tällaisen selkeän näkemyksen. Mutta se ongelma, mikä tapahtuu, on, että toisen säteen ihmisellä on astraalitasolle tämmöinen magneettinen side, ja nämä harhat, jotka, ja ei ole pelkästään kyse yhdestä harhasta, vaan ylipäätänsä kaikenlaisista monenlaisista harhoista, ja mitä tapahtuu tälle selkeän näköiselle toisen säteen ihmiselle, on se, että hän on hyvin herkkä omiin harhoihinsa, ja sen takia hänelle tulee tällainen kyky kärsiä niistä ja rekisteröidä niitä ja tuntea olevansa syntinen ja epäonnistunut. Ja tämä on se, mikä sitten puolestaan estää toisen säteen ihmistä vapautumista, koska hänellä on sitten hyvin herkästi tuleva tällainen alemmuskompleksi ja sitten kyky sitten tuntea tuskaa tästä asiasta.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Trained observers are the second of the seed groups. And for this reason, there is a connection with the second ray. So, you know, if you have the second ray and the sixth ray and the fifth ray together, it's a good combination for working through glamour. Okay, now, fifth ray. Fifth ray people suffer the least from glamour, but are primarily the victims of illusion. And we're going to study illusion in this group as well, but first the glamours. Primarily the victims of illusion. And for them, the technique of the presence is all important, because it brings in a factor which the true fifth ray person is apt to negate and refuse to admit, the fact of the higher self. He feels self-sufficient. They respond so easily and with such satisfaction to the power of thought. Pride is their mental competence is their major sin, and they are therefore set in their purposes and preoccupied with the world of the concrete and the intellectual. The moment that the angel of the presence is a reality to them, their response to illusion weakens and disappears. Their major problem is not so much the negation of the astral body, for they are apt to despise its hold on them, you know, they don't count it for much, but they have a major difficulty in recognizing that which the mind is intended to reveal, the divine spiritual self. Their concrete mind interposes itself, gets between them and the vision. So he has a lot to say about that too. So, Tuya, in summary,
okei. So, nyt puhutaan viidennen seteen ihmisestä ja mielenkiintoisesti on se, että he itse asiassa kaikista sädetyypeistä kärsivät vähiten harhoista, mutta heidän ongelmansa on illuusiot. Heitä auttaa todella tämä tekniikka, jota sanotaan läsnäolon tekniikaksi, koska se tuo sen tosiasian todelliseksi viidennen säteen henkilölle, mitä he yrittävät ja pyrkivät kieltämään todellisuuden korkeammasta itsestään. He tuntevat itsensä itseriittoisiksi. Heidän ongelmansa on mentaalisesti tuo ylpeys. Ja tämä on heidän sisäsyntyinen syntinsä, jos niin voi sanoa, koska heidän maailmansa on konkreettista ja älykästä. Mutta sinä hetkenä, kun läsnäolon enkeli tulee todellisuudeksi heille, tuo illuusioiden voima alkaa kadota. Ja heidän pääasiallinen ongelmansa ei ole astraalikehon kieltäminen, vaan juuri kaikista suurin ongelma heille on huomioida se, mitä konkreettinen mieli itse asiassa kieltää, mutta mieli, korkeampi mieli paljastaa heidän todellinen henkinen jumalallinen itsensä.
Okay, so if you feel you have, you know, any of these rays in your nature, then, you know, pay close attention to what DK is saying here. Now, I'll finish this off with the last little bit about the fourth ray. Fourth ray people are peculiarly prone to fall into glamour. It's kind of interesting, you know, if I can just say that in the Second World War, the three Axis powers, Germany, fourth ray soul, Italy, fourth-ray personality, and Japan, fourth-ray soul. Interesting. And they produce a condition which is extremely difficult. He says, I might define their problem by saying that they tend to bring their illusions down to the astral plane, and there they clothe them with glamour and have consequently a double problem on their hands. They are faced with the unification of glamour and illusion. They are, however, now this is talking about the future here, they are, however, a group of souls which will eventually reveal the true nature of the intuition, and this will be the result of their illusory, glamorous fight in the world of appearances. In other words, they're going to be in a position to help get rid of illusion because the intuition is so active. Okay, so in summary.
Nyt neljännen säteen henkilöllä on tämä kummallinen ikään kuin kyky kaatua näihin harhoihinsa. Ja se, mitä se tuottaa, on erittäin vaikeat ongelmat ja tilan. Sanotaan, että he pyrkivät tuomaan, he tuovat ikään kuin illuusiot astraaliselle tasolle ja siellä vaatettavat ne harhoillaan ja siitä seuraa tämmöinen kaksinainen ongelma, jossa tulee tämmöinen yhdistynyt illuusio ja harha, astraalitason harha. Mutta kuitenkin he ovat ryhmänä henkilöitä, jotka heidän todellinen luontonsa on jossakin vaiheessa sitten paljastaa todellisen intuitiivien luonne. Ja sitä mukaan, kun se intuitio vahvistuu, niin nämä illuusionomaiset harhat sitä myötä häviävät myös maailmasta.
Okay. All right, so now we have this idea of how all the rays in general are reacting to the problem of glamour. And what we're going to do now is to take a look at some second ray glamours. Now, these are, for those of you who are Finnish people, you will just see the translation underneath, okay? So that, we're not going to read that out right now, we're just going to let you see that. So you'll know what we're talking about here. Now,
Michael, I have to say that in Finnish.
Okay.
Eli nyt tämä seuraava kohta, mitä käydään läpi, Michael tulee käymään läpi toisen säteen harhoja. Ja te näette tuon englanninkielisen harhan alla suomenkielisen käännöksen. Ja nyt tämä käydään sillä lailla läpi, että te näette vaan tuon suomenkielisen käännöksen. Niin sitä nyt ei käännetä ihan ajan puutteen takia.
Okay. So, now let's see if we can relate to these and why they would be glamours. And then we'll pause for a little bit before the meditation to see if there are any questions or comments. Okay, the glamour of the...
Ja kun nämä, Michael, I just say okay, that in okay. Finnish.
Sorry.
Eli sen jälkeen, kun nämä harhat, toisen säteen harhat on käyty läpi, tulee pieni hetki, jossa on mahdollisuus teidän kysymyksiin ennen kuin sitten mennään tuohon mietiskelyyn.
Okay, the glamour of the love of being loved. Now, I remember when Roberto Assagioli was talking about this in his book that he published not under his own name, but it was about the seven rays, and he really emphasized this for the second ray type, always being in love in some way. You know, it's more a solar plexus thing. Anyway, this is going to turn your attention on the astral body, and it's going to prevent higher values from emerging. You're just going to want to be receiving that wonderful feeling when people adore you. It's like the glamour of popularity, which is coming up here. You know, the attention of the world is egoistically or egotistically appropriated. And you feel good in your astral body, you know. It's a comfort thing in your astral body. We're not dealing here with the welfare of the whole. It's how you feel. It's sort of a selfish emotional or feeling state which calms the astral body and makes you feel appreciated, and somehow you have a place and you don't feel threatened, and it reinforces your ego. See, always the individual who is glamoured is standing at the very center of his own picture. So, you know, when you really look out at the world, your little ego is a very small thing. But for the glamoured person, that sense of identity takes up a great big space in your field of consciousness, and so everything else looks distorted. Oh, now this is a good one, and maybe you have run into it: the glamour of personal wisdom. Well, people are so ready to sit there and say, based on my experience, here's what you should do. I experienced it this way, so it must be right for you. Well, the people who are in this glamoured state, they don't know how severely limited their own experience is. So you figure that even though it looks very big to you, everything you've been through, so everybody else must be the same way. And everything you've gone through is sufficient to improve the condition of others. But in fact, you're just looking at yourself. There's no real psychology of the other person and understanding what they have to go through and what their perspective is. Now, obviously, a study of astrology and the seven rays and really understanding who other people are is going to take this glamour away. But it's a very self-centered thing, just kind of come to me, I'm the source of wisdom, and I'll tell you what to do. Okay, here's another one. The glamour of selfish responsibility. Well, you're emphasizing your own importance by taking responsibility for other affairs and circumstances and where you shouldn't be involved, It's taking away the opportunity from others for their own learning. So we're going to fix it. We're going to make it all better, smooth it all out. We are the important one. Let me help you. But the idea is, let me help you. The you is not so important. It's the me who is important here. So we're always, we are including too much. Inclusiveness is a problem for the second ray type, and over-inclusiveness, of course, is the problem. Real inclusiveness is good. But you're minding other people's business too much, and you're making them weak by doing for them what they could do for themselves. Okay, now this is more on the B side of the second ray, or the wisdom side, or the knowledge side, not so much the love side. The glamour of too complete an understanding which negates right action. Just give me one more book before I take action. One more seminar. You're being lowered into the grave. Just one more seminar, and then I'll know, okay? So it's based on exaggeration or minimization or both. One allows understanding to expand towards an ever-receding completeness. In other words, there's more and more to learn, more and more to know, and it minimizes the importance of doing something with that understanding. So it's very Jupiterian in a way. You just want to know too much, and it's not very service-oriented at all. It's all about knowing more and more. In other words, the second ray type tends towards omniscience, learning about everything and including everything, but where is the right action? So it can be quite cold. It's very interesting how DK says that coldness is a problem with the second ray. You wouldn't normally think it is, but especially when it's just involved in the world of thought and not going out towards learning. I wish I could find that for you right now. Maybe I can, if I just go quickly over here to Esoteric Psychology 1 and press the button and hope, take a look here. Over-absorption in study, coldness, indifference to others, and contempt for the mental limitations of others. So what do you need to have? Love, compassion, unselfishness, and energy. And you would think that the second ray type already has those things, but maybe not. So here's what he says in this first paragraph is very good. to tell you about, you know, learning too much and doing too little. This is called the ray of wisdom. From its characteristic desire for pure knowledge and for absolute truth, cold and selfish, if without love, and inactive without power. When both power and love, notice the first ray adding to it, when both power and love are present, then you have the ray of the Buddhas and of all the great teachers of humanity who have attained wisdom for the sake of others, having attained wisdom for the sake of others, spend themselves in giving it forth. Now, this is both the good part and the bad part. The student on this ray is ever unsatisfied with his highest attainments. No matter how great his knowledge, his mind is fixed on the unknown, the beyond, and on the heights as yet unscaled. So, you know, maybe Master DK is talking a little bit about himself as he, coming up on the second ray line. To complete an understanding, negating right action. Now, here's one that we're all going to recognize. And maybe it's just a human thing, you know. The glamour of self-pity. A basic glamour of this ray. You know, poor me. Okay. One is so focused on one's own nature, on one's own astral body, maybe how you feel about things, that that sensitivity which you have and which should be directed towards sensing the condition of others and helping them is constantly directed towards oneself, one's own astral body, one's own feeling of inferiority, inadequacy, depression, in the face of circumstances. And so you're commiserating with yourself instead of others. My life is so hard, you know. So I like to say this is like the adventures of poor little more me. You know, let's talk about me and how tough my life is. Anyway, maybe some of us can recognize this thing, you know. I certainly recognize it on a bad day. And I will have a little company here. All right. The next one is the glamour of the Messiah complex in the world of religion and of world need. Well, you're self-important, you know. That's the problem with glamour. You're too big in your own field of vision. So self-importance shows itself, and attention is wrongly drawn to yourself and not to the whole, which one thinks one has the personal wisdom to manage. You know, I can solve everything here. You see a lot of teachers this way, you know, teachers in the spiritual field. I know all the answers. You know, you poor little pupils, just come to me and I will solve things for you. I will lead you to salvation. You see it all the time and it just makes you a little bit sick. But anyway, there it is. The glamour of fear based upon undue sensitivity. Well, fear is a big condition on our planet, and even the animals have it, and maybe even the plants respond in a certain way. It forces you into an isolated condition, and you don't dare move out into your life and experience. You become so sensitive that you become afraid that you are useless in helping others. So let's just say that anybody who really tackled their fears, no matter what ray you're on, is going to find certain glamours there. Whatever you're afraid of, there's going to be revealed a glamour, but the second ray type is so sensitive that there's going to be a lot more of those fears. Eventually, the whole ray of humanity will be the second ray. The glamour of self-sacrifice. Well, you know, you feel so lifted up within yourself for the apparent sacrifices you're making, but you know, they're not for the right motive. You want to be noticed. You want good energy to come towards you. Let's just say sometimes you just give up. You know you should stand up for yourself, but instead you just take the weak path and let other people walk all over you. It's kind of the doormat approach. Or the other way is you kind of say, look at all the things I've done for you, you know. I've sacrificed myself for you, and you don't appreciate me. So, you know, there's a couple of ways this can work, but it doesn't work out for the good of the whole or the good of other people. This is an interesting one, the glamour of selfish unselfishness. You expect a return in admiration for the sacrifices you are making with the wrong motive. So let me, you know, let me help you. I'm so unselfish, but please notice me for being unselfish and praise me so I'll feel good because of all the good energy coming towards me. The glamour of self-satisfaction. You feel the completion of your desire without realizing how little has been accomplished in terms of the whole. Now, remember the law of repulse when it comes to the second ray. The scholar is really happy. The scholar has gathered all the nuggets of truth, and there's a satisfied inquiry, the darkness and the warmth of a satisfied inquiry. I feel so good about what I know. There's nothing more to be learned. And then the spade descends into his mind because the thinker is tending the garden of his thought. The glamour of selfish service. You're serving a lot. So many people do this. He says often the person who is doing the serving is getting more out of it than the person served, because they get all these social advantages and the admiration that they stand out before others. Everything depends on the motive. So in general, humility and altruism will defeat glamour and clear-sightedness about oneself. All right, those are the second-ray glamours. I don't know if any of us are recognizing them in our own nature. It's always hard to see yourself. I certainly look at some of these things that I say, oh my gosh, okay, I see them. So now, this will be the time before we get into our meditation for people to either make a comment or ask a question in the questions box or raise your hand, so forth, if you wish to speak out loud. It's a problem, glamour. You know, it's a problem. Okay.
Nyt voitte esittää kysymyksen tai tuohon kirjoittaa kysymykset myös niihin tuohon kyselykohtaan, missä näette tällaisen pienen ikkunan. Siihen voitte laittaa myös kysymyksiä. Ja voi laittaa kirjoittaa suomeksi, koska me voin kääntää sitten.
Good. Thank you. So, are there any questions? Are there any observations? We've looked at what the Tibetan has said about the seventh ray clear-cut glamours, the fifth ray mental pride and illusions, not really discovering the soul but being trapped in the concrete mind. We've looked at the fourth ray bringing down illusions onto the astral plane and clothing those illusions with strong desire. And then we've also looked at the second ray type, seeing clearly, but somehow responsive to all the glamours, not any one in particular. Any thoughts here, or questions that you would like to pose before we do our work and get into the dissipation of these individual glamours, you know, something you can identify with? Excuse me. Okay. I'm kind of looking for you, and maybe Brett has somebody that may have asked a question. Or maybe everything is just perfectly clear in that gray fog upon the astral plane, which DK says is the condition of the beglamored astral plane. Maybe that is banished in all of our cases. It would be nice, wouldn't it? But the thing is about it, it's not going to happen right away, because we have to clear up the etheric plane before we can make a real fight on that. So, Guadalupe, you have your hand up, and go ahead.
Yes, Michael. Good morning. In the Judeo-Christian tradition, one is always called selfish, and I would like to call myself sometimes soulful. And I want you to know if you would like to talk about the difference between selfishness and soulfulness.
Oh, well, what is, you know, Guadalupe, what is the real self? Because if a person is busy being the real self, they are soulful. So usually,
that's what I call.
Say, you know what I mean? Selfishness applies mostly to thinking you are the not self and acting as if somehow you are the mind or you are the desires or you are the instincts and the actions of the etheric physical body. So it's mistaken identity. So if we really know what our self is and somehow we can slip out of identifying with the lower elemental nature, we will actually be soulful. And then, you know, once we quiet that all down, this higher self permeates our lower elemental nature, and we become full of soul. So that's how I would deal with it. You know, if we're really souls, we're not going to be selfish. We're going to be within and acting as the true self.
Thank you.
Kysymys oli sielukkuudesta ja itsekkyydestä, mikä näiden ero. Ja englanninkielisessä versiossa tämä jotenkin tulee selkeämmäksi tämä kysymys. Mutta idea oli siinä, että mihinkä me keskittäydymme, mihinkä itseen keskittäydymme. Että silloin kun on kyse alemmasta itsestä ja persoonasta, silloin tuo itsekkyys on se ilmaisumuoto, ja sitten taas on, jos on sielukas ihminen, niin silloin ihminen on virittäytynyt tuohon korkeampaan itseen, josta tulee sitten tuo sielutäyteinen sielukas ihminen.
Yeah, and I'd like to just say to everybody that the diaphragm, this muscle that basically is helping us breathe, it is dividing the higher chakras from the lower, and it especially is dividing the solar plexus from the heart. And basically,
Michael, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, we had a temporary sound problem, we have a couple questions here.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, fine. Let me just get in just by saying that the heart is the organ of unselfishness. The solar plexus, representing all the lower chakras, is the organ of selfishness. And it's just like a contrast between Mars and Jupiter. And we have to get into the heart, which is Jupiter. Okay. Okay. So, Brett, go ahead with those statements or questions.
Patricia asks, can you give an example of the fourth ray tendency of unifying glamour and illusion?
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I should be able to because I have a lot of the fourth ray myself. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, Germany, it'll be more a national example perhaps, and it'll be taken from the Second World War. They absolutely had this complicated theory about the excellence of the fifth sub-race or the Aryan race. It was distorted, it was not complete. It just, as is the case with illusion, it just focused on a fragment of the truth and brought it down. And then, being a Piscean nation in their personality, they clothed this idea of the supreme excellence of the fifth subrace with incredible devotion, emotion, and people were just positively swept away by this vision of their superiority, creating an irresistible, emotional, glamorous situation. So an idea on the plane of mind is, well, it can be dangerous, but or it can be good, but if it's brought into the astral body and it's a bad idea, a separative idea, an exclusive idea, and then it gets clothed with tremendous emotion, then you have a real difficult situation, a mixture of the stubborn thought and the extreme enthusiasm. Now, you're going to see this with some religious bodies today who have been taught in their concrete mind that they are superior. And then down onto the astral plane comes this incredible violent support of that point of view. And I would say that that is a combination of the two. Anybody's capable of doing it, but maybe fourth ray types more than others, especially when the sixth ray is combined with it. And like I said, the Axis powers had Germany, ray 1 and 4, Japan, ray 4 and 6, Italy, ray 6 and 4. Put those 6 and 4s together, and you've got a real situation. Okay.
Kysymys oli antaa esimerkki tuosta neljännen säteen ongelmasta, jossa on illusio ja sitten tuo harha yhdessä. Ja Michael puhui kansallisella tasolla esimerkiksi toisen maailmansodan aikana Saksaa, jossa ilmenee neljännen säteen harha. Ja jotakuinkin näin heidän käsityksensä silloin tästä ideasta, että tämä heidän kansakuntansa on jollakin lailla tämmöinen ylempi kansa, jonka pitäisi johtaa koko maailmassa, maailman kansoja. Ja sitten tämä illuusio laskeutuu emotionaaliselle tunnetasolle, josta heille tuli tämmöinen valtaisa innostus ja koko kansakunnan kohoutus siitä heidän käsittämättömästä ylivallastaan, joka sitten kuitenkin oli tämmöinen separatistinen ajatus, jossa sitten muita kansoja tuli sitten nistiä täältä menemään, koska heillä tämä oikeus olisi sitten ollut. Eli tässä näkyy tämmöinen kansallinen, ja miten hirvittävä se ongelma oli, ja millä lailla sitä pystytään sitten kitkemään pois, kun tämmöisestä on kyse.
Thanks to you. Okay, Brett, go ahead, and then I also have Sheldon here. He's going to say something in a minute, but my audio connection has been lost. Okay, disconnect and connect. Okay. Okay, all right, I hope I'm back here. Some problem. Audio.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you, and my sound has just come back. It told
yes,
me I was disconnected, but now I know
yes,
I'm disconnected.
We've had a global problem.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Even my machine knows the truth.
Okay. There might be coming now thunder.
Yeah, I see it coming. Yeah. Actually, before you go on, Brett, let's Sheldon say something. Sheldon and/or Helena, go ahead, Sheldon.
Well, Michael, I have another question for you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Thinking about all that's going on with these cell phones and these selfies and the cell phone itself being a kind of fourth ray way to portray oneself, there's wonderful things that can take place here, but do you have any thoughts about the kind of glamour that seems to be going on? There's so much one can comment on, but I'd love to get your ray thoughts along those lines.
Well, it's almost like an astrological thought because it is the planet, it is the sign Leo, which actually is ruling humanity, and it is a phase in which the integrated personality is now rising to the surface and is claiming the field of identity. So, in other words, people are really wanting to be assured about what their self is. Look, there's even these selfie sticks now, you know? You stick your camera, your phone out there, and it's easier to take a selfie. It's the reassurance of the ego center before the phase of getting soul infusion. But it does indicate a rising up into the full personhood. I think DK said it could present a problem, but I think that's basically what it is. It's a Leo kind of thing, opposite the coming in of the age of Aquarius. We want to be assured of our individuality, so there we are with the self-E, you know. That's my view. My view at the moment. Let's see now, Brett.
Kysymys oli siitä, että kysyttiin Michaelin ajatusta näistä selfie-kuvista, jota kännykällä voi ottaa. Ja Michael tuumasi, koska ihmiskuntaa hallitsee leijonan merkki, joka on itse kuva itsestä ja itse siinä mielessä kaikilla tasoilla oleva itse, alemmasta korkeampaan. Ja tällä hetkellä tuo sielupersonaksi tulo ja integroituminen persoonassa on näitä tällaisia ulkoisia merkkejä kohti tätä tilaa, mutta nämä selfie-kuvat, jossa ikään kuin ihminen pyrkii jollakin lailla vahvistamaan omaa identiteettiään, ja se on tämä vaihe, ja näitä selfie-tikkuja, tai miksikä niitä nyt sanotaan, että kännykällä voi ottaa kuvaa itsestä, niin näitä on jopa myynnissä, mutta tämä on tämmöinen vaihe ihmiskunnassa.
Okay. I don't know if we should make a confession here. Actually, we have a new selfie stick in our house. I won't say who bought it, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, Brett. Who else?
Yes, a couple more. Suzanne comments, take away the letter H and selfish becomes self-is.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, well, we have to look at what the H may mean. It is the number 8. And, okay, well, we can ponder on that. Self is, but do we know it is the case? And in other words, look, you will not have glamour if you can identify as the real self instead of the false, lower, egoistic self. Okay? Have I faded out again? Am I okay?
You're there.
Okay, yeah. No, thank you. Thank you for assuring me. Now I won't have to use a selfie to prove I am there. Okay. Okay.
And next.
Yeah, go ahead.
Next question from Michael. It appears that glamours are most visible in critical moments in either our communication with others or in groups or in times when our reactive psychologies are most activated. What does it look like to create a space for all members in a group or space when two or more individuals are communicating with one another to allow for the real-time dissipation of glamour?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, that's a big question, and it takes a lot of work of the individuals on their own glamours, which means a certain openness to the feedback of others close to you or to anyone who are likely to see those glamours. So, first of all, it takes individual work. Then it takes much meditation so that the soul infuses the personality, because the group, the soul is group conscious. So the more soul we have, the more group we have, group consciousness, the more we are able to create a space within a group where the desirable objectives that you are talking about can take place. With experienced people who know themselves, then the chance of doing what you're talking about is much more successful, but that could be a real problem if you get inexperienced people, throw them together in a group, and have them hopefully get rid of, work on glamour together or on group glamour together. That will not work. Okay, thank you, Michael.
I
just translate quickly.
Yeah.
So the question was how this could be worked out. I'm sorry.
Finish.
I'm talking.
Finish. Okay.
Anteeksi, minä rupesin puhumaan englantia. Eli tämä kysymys oli siitä, millä lailla voisi työstää, jos on kyse ryhmästä. Ja tämmöisissä kriittisissä tilanteissa hyppääkin tämmöinen reaktiivinen aktiivisuus päälle. Tässä oli katkoksia, että mä en ihan saanut selville tätä koko kysymystä, mutta kuitenkin Michael vastasi siihen, että tarvitaan paljon avoimuutta ja kykyä tuntea itsensä niin, että ryhmässä voidaan käydä avoimesti tämmöistä feedbackia takaisin. Sen jälkeen tarvitaan mietiskelyä paljon ja sitten koko ryhmä, että ryhmä on tietoinen sielusta ja siinä mielessä myös sielutietoinen ryhmä tulossa. Ja sitten tuo, mitä halutaan tällä aktiivisuudella tuoda esiin tai viedä eteenpäin joku päämäärä, niin siihen sitten tämä tietoisuus, millä lailla hoidetaan tämä harha pois. Mutta se todella tarvitsee ryhmän joka ja jäsenet, jotka ovat siinä mielessä niin pidemmällä, että se on mahdollista tehdä.
Okay, thank you. All right, do we have any more questions?
We have three more questions.
Oh my God. the glamour of time. All right. Time is an illusion, right? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, oh, yes.
All right.
Yvonne asked, what's the difference between selfish unselfishness and selfish service?
Maybe not so much, you know, because sometimes the motive that we have, we demonstrate unselfishness in service, and it goes without saying that people who serve are considered to be unselfish. But what is the motive behind it? Sometimes the motive is to appear before other people as noteworthy, as benevolent, and you get what's called positive regard from others. Your mind is not so much on the person you're helping as on what you will get from helping that person. So I see, you know, quite a similarity there, Yvonne. I wouldn't, you know, try to discriminate excessively about that.
Kysymys oli englanninkielisistä sanoista, jotka ovat siinä mielessä suomeksi ihan samaa tarkoittavia, itsekkäästä palveluksesta tai epäitsekkäästä palveluksesta, määrätyt sanat, nyanssierot, mutta periaatteessa sitten millä lailla tämä ero nähdään on se motiivin puhtaus, millä motiivilla me itse kukin sitten palvelemme.
There's a couple more, Brett, or one more, or two
yes,
more?
Yes, okay. Yes. Okay. Rose comments, let's not be too prudish on the selfie sticks.
Okay, Rose, bring your selfie stick to the next conference. Now, the question will be now, you know, these selfie sticks, they can get quite long. So probably it's a status symbol to maybe have a 10-foot selfie stick compared to just a 2-foot selfie stick. Oh, but maybe that's not a close-up enough. Anyway, we'll compare selfie sticks at the next conference. Okay. All right, what else?
Tämä oli vähän, seuraava asia oli pikkuisen vitsikästä, eli puhuttiin näistä selfie-tikuista tai kepeistä ja sitten niiden pituuksista ja sitten, että ensi kerralla tuodaan sitten USA:ssa olevaan konferenssiin näitä selfie-tikkuja.
You know how when you're in another country, you're off always stopping the person you don't know and say, will you please take a picture of the three of us? Well, this is a move towards self-reliance when it comes to that type of request. So probably there's a good thing about selfie sticks after all. Okay. All right. Is there one more question? Because then we really have to move on into our meditation.
Yes. Rose says exactly, by the way.
Okay.
Celeste asks, and I hope I get this right.
Okay.
Does emotional literacy get us there? when we have befriended our feelings and can stay present, is that the end of falling for the glamours, or at least a big step?
I think, well, you know, it depends on what we mean by befriended, but when we are able to adopt the attitude of the observer with regard to what our feeling state is, we're already a long way toward being able to evaluate whether these feelings are positive or whether they are detrimental to our spiritual development. So I would say familiarity with our feeling nature, both from the sentient point of view, you know, how does it really feel, so you get the full feeling of how your feelings feel, plus taking the seat of the observer on the mental plane as the soul-infused mind, both of these things are necessary. You're not going to ever solve glamour or emotional control from the plane, from the astral plane itself. We have to be somewhat a soul-infused mind to solve this issue. All right, friends, I'm not even going to ask if there's any more questions. I just assume there's not. So I hope that's it. Okay, now look, we're going to go on, and I may abbreviate this meditation a bit tonight. So I, you know, as Olivia has often pointed out to us, you can do this meditation every day in 5 or 10 minutes, you know. It's just that we're going into a slightly, a deeper understanding of it, because the Tibetan fills out the whole of it, so we'll really understand what we're doing. It's no good to do a short meditation if you don't really understand the substance of the meditation. But more and more, as we've been working together, we do begin to understand the substance of this meditation, and so we will work accordingly. Now let's see, all I've got to do is find the meditation. There it is.
And that's right. It's really important that we understand the meditation formula, and that's where we're focusing on it so much in depth, and then we can do it in a short amount of time. I want to just quickly share something that DK said about the beam of light that we are creating in meditation. And he said it has a twofold use. It works expulsively and dynamically, much as a strong wind blows away or dissipates a dense fog, or as the rays of the sun dry up and absorb the mist. So that's one way. And then he said, it acts also as a beam along which that which is new and a point of the divine intention can enter. The new ideas and the desired ideals can come in on the beam of light, just as the beam directs and brings in the airplanes to a desired landing place. So that gives us two aspects of the work we're doing with this beam of light.
Olivia antoi tässä yhden otteen TK:n kirjoittamasta ohjauksesta, mitä tarkoittaa tuo valon säde, mitä me käytämme. Yksi, mitä se tekee, on se, että se hajottaa tuon sumuun tai pilven, mitä harha tuo. Ja sitten toinen on se, että se antaa tilaa uudelle jumalalliselle mahdollisuudelle tai tarkoitukselle tulla esiin. Eli nämä kaksi, eli hävittää sen harhan ja sumun, ja sitten toinen, että siellä jumalallinen ajatus voi tulla läpi.
Michael, you're muted.
I don't know how that happened, but have I been muted all this time? I've been having a wonderful time talking to myself. It's a bit like it's a bit like taking a selfie. You know, I really have begun to listen to me, and you know, I like the results. Anyway, thanks, Olivia, for that presentation on those points. I basically said, read the book, everybody. Read the book. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start out with this, just the preparatory stages, and then I'm going to go back to number 5 in the fuller glamour meditation. I think we can handle this without necessarily going through everything. So Tuya, these little translations will just be single sentences, and then I'm going to go back to number 5 here, where the finish picks up. So, in other words,
okay, I try to follow you.
So I'm going to go back to the technique or formula, which is number 5. But first, I'm going to just have our preparation. Okay, everybody. So, you know, there are a fair number of us here, about, at the moment, 64 of us or 65 of us. Let us reach out towards each other as if we are in a group unity, which is largely occurring on the plane of soul.
Pyrimme saavuttamaan toinen toisemme pääasiallisesti sielujen tasolla.
So we are present to each other as if we are, in fact, more the soul than the personality.
Me olemme toinen toistemme läsnäolossa, mikä tarkoittaa, että olemme enemmän sieluissa kuin persoonissamme yhtä.
So in our unified state, each one of us will recognize the particular glamour that we are intending to work with and dissipate.
Sielutietoisuudessamme olemme tietoisia siitä harhasta, jota haluamme, jonka haluamme hävittää.
There are two lights, and we bring them together, the light of matter and the light of the lower mind. We bring them together on the mental plane.
Mentaalisella tasolla pyrimme tuomaan kaksi valoa yhteen, mentaalisen valon ja persoonallisuuden valon. Ja aineen valon.
You do this with a creative imagination.
Ja tämän tehdään luovan mielikuvan kuvituksen avulla.
And we recognize that they are together a greater light than either one of them.
Ja huomioimme, että nämä kaksi ovat nyt yhtä, ja siinä mielessä se on suurempi valo kuin nämä valot erikseen.
And now we also bring in imaginatively the light of the soul to join the two other lights.
Ja nyt tuomme me mielikuvassamme sielun valon yhteyteen näiden kahden muun valon kanssa.
And this, these three lights together are what the Tibetan calls the searchlight of the mind.
Ja nämä kolme valoa yhdessä on se, mitä tiibettiläinen kutsuu mielen etsivä valo.
We do recognize the integration of our personality and its alignment with the soul.
Ja me huomioimme persoonassamme integraation, joka on virityksessä tai virittäytyneenä sieluun.
And we're going to direct this searchlight not into our own astral body, but onto the astral plane.
Nyt tuo valo, joka me voimme kutsua etsiväksi valoksi, me kohdistamme sen astraalitasolle, ei vaan astraalikehon, vaan astraalitasolle.
But not yet.
Mutta ei vielä.
Now, as if we see and hear the soul, we're going to see and hear the soul breathing the Om, the sacred word, into the mind of the waiting personality.
Ja nyt ikään kuin kuulemme sielun äänen ja hengityksen, kuinka sielu lausuu Om tuolle mentaaliselle tasolle.
And this will, of course, strengthen the light that is being retained on the mental plane.
Ja tietysti se vahvistaa tuota valoa, joka nyt ylläpidetään mentaalisella tasolla.
Now the light gets more and more brilliant. And we see
ja nyt valo voimistuu yhä enemmän ja tulee kirkkaammaksi.
We use the imagination to see this light as a sphere of vivid, brilliant light, not yet radiating or projecting, but there it is, on the mental plane, on our, in our mental body.
Ja nyt mentaalikehossamme tuo etsivä valo tulee koko ajan vaan yhä kirkkaammaksi ja voimallisemmaksi. Ja sitten nähdään elävän säteilevänä valona tai valon piirinä, mutta ei vielä säteilemässä tai suuntautumassa ulos.
We feel the intensity and the brilliance of this searchlight.
Ja me tunnemme tuon etsivän valon, sen intensiivisyyden.
And now we put our will behind this triple light.
Ja nyt käytämme tahtoa tuon kolminaisen valon takana.
Now we're going to bring the searchlight of the mind and the glamour that we want to dissipate, we're going to bring these into relationship by the power of our thought.
Ja nyt mielemme voiman taholta tuomme nämä kaksi yhteen, eli se etsivä valo mielemme tasolla ja sitten se harha, jonka haluamme hävittää.
We don't want to strengthen the glamour by projecting energy into it. We have to weaken the glamour and see it eventually dissipated.
Me emme halua tuoda voimaa harhaan keskittäytymällä siihen, vaan meidän täytyy nähdä, tahdollamme nähdä, että se häviää.
So we have to think through what will be the effect of bringing this searchlight in touch with the glamour.
Ja meidän täytyy nähdä, mitä tällä tuodaan ja saadaan aikaiseksi, kun harha tuodaan tuon etsivän valon yhteyteen.
Now we're going to, having completed the concentration and the realization and the understanding of the relationship by an act of the will and using the creative imagination, we are going to turn on the searchlight and see a vivid beam of light streaming forth and piercing the glamour. A broad and brilliant beam pouring forth from the illumined mind onto the astral plane, and we believe that it is so.
Ja nyt tuo etsivän valo. Mielestämme lähetämme valon säteen astraalitasolle, jossa tuo harha sijaitsee, ja näemme, että se todella katoaa. Elävä valon säde. Ja meidän täytyy myös uskoa, että näin tapahtuu.
Now we enter an important and difficult part of the work. We're going to name.
Nyt meillä on,
yeah,
on vaikea. Nyt meillä on erittäin vaikea osa tätä työtä.
We'll name the glamour and we're going to see the dissipation of the glamour.
Me tulemme nimeämään harhan ja tulemme näkemään, että se katoaa.
So everyone adopt a strong point of tension.
Jokainen keskittäytyköön ja rakentakoon erittäin voimallisen keskittymispisteen.
And remember that tension is focused, immovable will.
Ja olemme keskittäytyneet muuttumattomaan, liikkumattomaan tahtoomme.
And so you're going to say this to yourself, either very quietly or inaudibly.
Sanot joko erittäin hiljaa taikka äänettömästi itsellesi.
The power of the light prevents the appearance of the glamour, and then you name it to yourself.
Ja sanon nyt, valon voima estää harhan ilmestymisen ja nimeä harhan nimi.
The power of the light negates the quality of the glamour from affecting me.
Valon voima estää harhan ominaisuuden vaikuttamasta minuun.
The power of the light destroys the life behind the glamour.
Valon voima tuhoaa harhan elinvoiman.
And if these things happen, what will be the result?
Ja jos nämä asiat tapahtuvat, mikähän olisi sen tulos?
Now we're going to sound the Om together, the sacred word, with the intent of producing an act of penetration.
Ja nyt lausumme Om pyhän sanan okkultisella kielellä. Tätä kutsutaan joko sisään tunkeutumiseksi taikka penetraation toiminnaksi.
And as we sound the Om, what will happen is we will make a definite impact on the glamour. We will penetrate the glamour, and the light will be absorbed by it, and it will dissipate slowly and never be so powerful again.
Ja kun lausumme Om, niin se tekee tietyn vaikutuksen harhaan. Se läpäisee sen ja imee itseensä ja hävittää hitaasti harhan.
So now we'll use three Oms in terms of these three results.
Ja nyt lausumme kolme Omia näihin kolmeen tarkoitukseen.
And you can work at this during the week in an abbreviated manner. And now we withdraw our beam of light back onto the mental plane from the astral plane, and we focus on the mental plane.
Ja nyt vedämme takaisin tuon valon säteen astraalitasolta mentaaliselle tasolle ja keskittäydymme uudelleen mentaaliselle tasolle.
Sound one om to close our process, realizing that we have to work at this, it will take a while, and if we do the formula correctly over a period of months and years, the glamour will never be so strong to hold us, and it will be weakened on the astral plane for other people also.
Ja nyt lausumme OM tietoisena siitä, että kun teemme tätä tarpeeksi useasti, niin tuo hara-assaalitasolla koko ajan heikentyy ja lopulta katoaa kokonaan, ja teemme sen myös muille ihmisille. Ja lausumme siis OM vielä lopuksi päättääksemme tämän prosessin.
Oh. Okay, friends, thank you. We're going, you know, work on this during the week at such a time as suits you. And as you see right here below is the brief outline, which sums up the stages quite quickly. And, you know, he says, DK tells us it will become quite automatic and we'll be ready to sort of live with this formula. It will become effective in our lives. So now, as some of you know, what I've done is send out to you, now the same link is going to be used, okay, the link you have now, but I've sent out to you five programs, and this is a PM program, it's an afternoon program, so it goes, this is PM, PM, AM, PM, AM, PM. Because next week we're going to be doing these programs in the early AM GMT. So if you live in England, it's a little early. but, you know, you can join us as you can and use the formula during your day time and work on the particular glamour or glamours, not too many, you know, just focus, work on these things so that you will become accomplished in this act of dissipation. And then before long, we will get into the group and world glamour, but not before we're well grounded in dealing with some of the glamours which are most difficult for us to handle in an individual manner. So that's going to be it. Okay, you want to translate that? I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Michael on lähettänyt nyt 5 linkkiä tulevista näistä mietiskelyistä, jotka kohdistuvat harhan hävittämiseen. Ja kuten sanottu, meillä on nämä ilta- ja aamuajat. Ensi viikolla on sitten aamuaika. Ja jos teillä on mahdollisuus tuohon kirjaan Clamor of the World Problem, se ei ole käännetty suomeksi, niin kuitenkin sieltä löytyy nämä formulaat, mietiskelyformulaat, kaavat ja myöskin sieltä löytyy tämmöinen lyhennetty versio, eli kun tämä on meihin juurtunut tarpeeksi, niin silloin voimme myöskin tehdä tämän mietiskelyn hyvin nopeasti, ihan 5 minuuttiin mestari DK puhuu, ja sitten kun tämä mietiskely on tarpeeksi juurtunut itsessämme, sitten siirrymme tuohon ryhmä- ja maailmanharhoihin.
Okay, so good. All right, we will see you in 1 week for this particular program. Remember how our ASK program works. The Wednesday is a triangles broadcast. Thursday, the reappearance of the Christ broadcast. Friday, the Glamour webinar. Saturday, invoking the soul of particular nations. That's a broadcast. And all the broadcast links are the same, and you have them. And then Sunday, invoking money for hierarchical purposes. Those are the 5 programs we send out every week, and we're very happy if you can join us. This will be up on the Makara website relatively soon, I suppose within a day or so, if you would like to consult the meditation that we've just done.
Ja meidän tämä mietiskely tulee olemaan Makara-sivulla muutaman päivän päästä, jos haluatte tätä uudelleen käyttää. Ja tämä ASK-projektimme siis sisältää erilaisia mietiskelyjä, keskiviikkoisin 3 mietiskelyä, torstaisin Kristuksen jälleen tulemisen valmistelumietiskely, perjantaisin tämä harhan hävittäminen, lauantaisin sielujen tai kansojen sielu kutsuminen ja sitten sunnuntaisin rahan kutsuminen hierarkisiin tarkoituksiin.
Okay, there's the Makara website.
Ja tuossa on tuo linkki.
Makara website address. So thank you everybody, and we will be working with you as we go along. It's very important what we're doing now. A number of groups in the world are doing this, and we live in glamorous times. Let's do our best to be clear about ourselves and clear about the world situation. Okay. Thank you. And, Oya?
Ja kiitos kaikille. Ja hei hei seuraavan kertaan.
Bye-bye, everybody. And thank you very much for your participation. Bye-bye.
Ja kiitos kaikille osallistumisestanne.